Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to the Caffeination Podcast. This is episode 386, the Woo edition here, because this is supposed to be the biggest party night of the year, so we're throwing kind of a fun little party over at Ustream, as the case may be. So I'd like to send a hi out there to everybody who's currently in the chat. We have not actually done this in quite a while, so we're going to try and keep up with a couple different streams of content flowing at the same point in time. So, yeah, this is the first time we're actually attempting any kind of simultaneously live casted thing. Haven't done it in a while. Got the computer all set up, so I figured I was going to give it a shot. Also, if you're very, very lucky, you might actually end up seeing the nightly cat fight between the dog and the cat here, down here in the basement. I have a little backdrop set up behind me so you don't see the rest of the basement. But yeah, it can get kind of crazy. So hopefully that'll keep down to a minimum. And I think the camera just actually went out. But we're going to keep trying to do it anyway. gotta love technology. And this is one of the reasons that I had issues before. But and I think we have the actual video back on there. So yeah, we're actually piping this through a couple different programs. We're hopefully going to make it out. So if you're listening to this over at Ustream, we apologize for the choppy content. As always, this episode will be up in its full glory over at www.caffination.com. That is caffination.com, so you can head on over there and check it out. Or you can also go on to ustream.tv/caffination and find the rest of the other shows. I think the last time we did this was somewhere around a year and a half ago. We are currently rocking some Sumatran coffee in my Naked Mole Rat mug. It's a mug from the Philadelphia Zoo, but there used to be a shirt that they had out there called that said Frisky Rare and Seriously Ugly, and had a picture of the Naked Mole Rat on the front of it, and then on the back it said you know, anybody else before coffee. So I kind of always associate the that critter with coffee for some reason, but it makes a good mug, and we're trying to kind of push through here. Feeling a little bit run down today, so we're gonna hopefully get everything up and out and out the door, and continue to do the stream and everything. So any questions or comments as we go through the show, please feel free to pop up into the chat and do so. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find all the other member shows, including us, over at www.techpodcasts.com. Everybody's agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. So it's a great place to kind of head over there and check out all the fun, cool little tech podcasts to see exactly what other people are covering. There's a ton of stuff that we're going to be talking to you about today. Up first and foremost, I did want to talk a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Now, I've been talking a little bit about GoToMeeting for quite some time now, but I wanted to take a couple seconds to just tell you about some of the really cool features that it actually has. It has a really, really easy interface that you can set it up, you can run presentations, you can record everything, and everything's on the fly. You can start meetings with absolutely one click. It's available on the Mac or the PC. You can instantly change presenters regardless of whether or not your other presenter's in the office next to you or down the hall or even across the country. It's fantastic. It has true 24-bit color. You can have a chat functionality, which is significantly better than the one that we have here on Ustream. You can record, playback, automatically integrates with your scheduling with Microsoft Outlook, and even has on-screen drawing tools, so you can kind of do the little John Madden Telestrator stuff. Of course, it includes phone conferencing and voiceover by IP solutions. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts to get your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool, fun things that we attempt to do here. I wanted to give you a quick little rundown of the things that I'm really thankful for this year. I know everybody kind of does this on their on their episodes, and sorry if the microphone's actually blocking things out, but it's kind of funny if you look at the screen that I'm looking at right now. You can see the waveforms in the different things, and in Audacity it looks really low. So hopefully I won't have to go back and fix that in post. But I'm really, really thankful for my family. My wife is unbelievably understanding that I spend two nights a week actually doing this, and you know, the kid is just fantastic. My friends who deal with me talking about podcasting when they don't even understand what it is. My job for actually allowing me to bring PodCamp Philly to Temple University, so it allows me to kind of integrate both sides of it. I'd like to thank everybody who's ever listened to a episode of the Caffeination podcast. You've really carried me through 385 episodes so far, and I can see no reason why you wouldn't carry me further. And then I'd like to thank the other friends that I have within the Tech Podcast Network. They really make things easier because you can kind of compare yourself against other people who have similar ideas and similar constructs that you do, and you can also really help each other out. It's really cool. So I'd like to thank Norbert Davis from over at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, Jeffrey Powers from the Geekazine Podcast, Todd Cochran from the Geek News Central Podcast, and last but certainly not least, the Raw Voice guys, because they really do a fantastic job over there, and without them setting up the sponsorships and the things that have been keeping the podcast running for these almost 4 years now, it really wouldn't be very much of a podcast. So thank you ever so much to the team over at Raw Voice. All right, now we have a bunch of great content that we're going to hopefully kind of do a little bit of a simulcast, so you'll be able to see some of the stuff on the screen, you'll be able to see some of the stuff in the video. I'm going to try and shift between the two relatively quickly. As for the people who are currently listening to the audio version of this, which I usually prefer, I like the audio better than the video, but I know a lot of people like the opportunity. I'm gonna still do the same thing where I record and I kind of give you the explanation for what I'm seeing, and hopefully you'll see the same thing. All right, up first, Pretense and Illusion. I hate to break it to you about Black Friday, but this year it's really not going to be anywhere near that kind of year. You're not going to see those kind of huge deals that you have coming across. You're not going to see a whole bunch of things that actually kind of pile up, and you're not going to hear about those deals that were so fantastic you kind of wish you could have gotten in on them. Because the economy is so bad, because the things have kind of tanked so much all over pretty much, it's kind of run its course with the deals. There's way too many people out there who are trying to pick the deals out ahead of time, and companies have already pretty much cut most of their prices down to a very, very baseline stance. And unfortunately, as the case may be, there's just not too much more that they can cut. And beyond that, you also have the other issues where you're going to start seeing more and more used car salesman tactics, where you're going to see people putting things out there and saying, hey, you know what, we have a fantastic, it's a 40-inch LCD TV. It's going to be sold for, let's just say, $400. And it's a doorbuster sale, so you have to get there at 4 a.m. I was talking to the wife today, and it was kind of hilarious, because we were sitting there and we were looking at the different sales that were actually coming up. And what people were actually saying was, you know, what was the time in which the thing was actually going to open. So Toys R Us is opening at midnight. So that is on Thanksgiving Day, at the very end of your day. If you really feel like it, you can go to Toys R Us at midnight. Then JCPenney is opening at 4 a.m. Then Macy's is opening at 5. So if you really wanted to, you could probably spend your entire night shopping. And that's not even counting like the 24-hour stores. So you could probably get your food shopping done halfway through, stopping off between Toys R Us and the other things that were out there. It's just, it's ridiculous that you would have to wake up that early to do anything like this. I'm pretty sure that the people that are out there are not going to be spending all their time, and I almost want to wake up that early just to drive by like a Walmart or something to see exactly how they're going to end up doing it. So, I mean, I really wonder if the areas around here are going to be anywhere near that packed. I mean, I know that a lot of people head out really early for the sales, but I'm just not sure, and I'm not sold world on whether or not the sales are actually going to be worth it this year. There's a couple little links that I've found. Gizmodo has a really good list for the things that are actually being sold. And the problems that you're seeing is that people are, like, for instance, Verizon Wireless is advertising that, hey, you can get the Droid for $199. It's their brand new cell phone that came out. Well, okay, that's all well and good, except that's the current sale price. Or you have other places like Amazon.com is doing a bunch of things over the weekend. And you're going to start hearing a huge amount of things about Cyber Monday, where it's like, you know, everybody gets back to work. And, you know, because then they have the fast internet connection, then they're going to start buying things on Monday. Yeah, I know I'm a little bit on the leading edge of the curve there, but I'm pretty sure people have a fast enough internet connection now, and they have the time and wherewithal to actually go shopping throughout the weekend. So I think Cyber Monday is largely a myth at this point. I'm not really sure how many legs that one's going to have. But I haven't really seen any sales that make me jump out there. So, I mean, hey, if you see anything or if you've heard of anything out there, then feel free to kind of update us, but there's been no, like, one huge sale. I've seen a couple ads that I actually had, you know, halfway decent things, but they kind of listed up there and they said, hey, you know, we only have 3 per store. It's like, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. to go try and get a TV for if you only have 3 of them in there, because if I'm the 4th guy in line, I'm up way too early for no feedback at that point. All right, moving right along to the next story we have for you here is presenting like a pro, the good stuff. Now, I've been working on my presentation skills a lot recently. I've been trying to get better at actually doing the on-the-go presentations like we're doing here, and part of it is because of PodCamp. I really loved presenting at PodCamp, but I also knew that I had a large area where I felt that I could actually improve. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to find a good basics article, and it just so happened it was on one of my favorite websites, Yanko Design. Now, they have a great graphic that's up there. It actually looks like a sandwich that has all kinds of crazy stuff all over it, and then it kind of exploded. But they basically give you a rundown of 10 steps that you can run through to become a much better presenter. So we're going to kind of give you a little overview here so you too can see this. The first thing is stand, don't sit. They want you to actually stand up there so you can point at things, you can move around if you have to, but they also say in the point where you're actually standing, you shouldn't actually be using a laser pointer, because they said for some reason laser pointers or using the, you know, the pointer sticks as they are actually kind of tends to distance you from the audience. I am guilty of using a laser pointer, but only in things that I can't reach, and I'm a relatively tall guy, so it's not that often that I end up using it. I do, however, love the laser pointer that I have, which I unfortunately don't have down here. I could show you. Actually has the forward and backwards button so that you can actually maneuver through your presentation as you go. It's really, really useful. So if you have a remote to actually advance you in through the PowerPoint presentations, I would highly suggest you do that. The number two thing that they have up there is eye contact. They want you to stare right at people. Well, not stare directly at them, and they don't want you to actually kind of, you know, pick off your audience one by one, but make sure you make direct eye contact to people as you're talking. And they're saying it might be a little bit less disconcerting to people instead of staring directly at them in two eyes, actually trying to pick one or the other. They said the one thing that you do need to be aware of is that you're much better off aiming high over the person than you are aiming low, because if you aim low, it can tend to send the wrong message if you have a lot of females in the audience. Number three is know your content. Make sure you know what you're talking about before you start speaking. Kind of famously had a couple flubs at PodCamp Philly, but I gotta tell you, working with podcast Steve Lubetkin was fantastic. The man knows his stuff, and it really kind of helps to play off somebody else. So if you don't know your content 100%, it really helps to have somebody else who has the knowledge that you don't, so you can bounce off one to the other. The other thing they say here is one slide per point. If you have 15 bullet points on a slide, they're going to read it ahead of when you're saying it. So you're better off just giving them one easily digestible, cohesive, one visually impactful slide and point per per instance. Number five is use stories to engage your audience. It's okay to break apart and actually, you know, spend time talking about things and, you know, trying to pull other life experiences in. It helps people to relate to you and also helps them remember what you're saying. Number six is style. Try and develop a cohesive way in which you do it. Number seven is speak slowly and clearly. It's the biggest one that I have a problem with. I end up I end up either stuttering or I end up speeding up as I'm talking. And since it is 12:03, I would like to just take this 1 second and say hi to Johnny Milton, the barista on duty, who is currently his birthday. So happy birthday, Johnny. I told you I'd do it. I see your little coffee cup mug there. So thank you very much. All right. The number nine is anticipate the questions. Or actually, we skipped over eight. Timing and pacing. Kind of make sure that you have a little cadence as you're running through the presentation. Number nine is anticipate the questions. So, you know, kind of put yourself in the audience place. What would you ask somebody who was standing up there? And number 10 is practice. If you have never done a practice of your presentation, it's going to sound like it. It's kind of like I tell the students that are trying to print something out. If you print something out 3 minutes before it's due, it's going to look like it. So you really kind of need to understand that. So, all right, we're moving right along. One of my favorite websites for design initiatives beyond Yanko Design is actually a place called Core 77. Now, what I'm going to do here is, if you're watching the live stream, I'm actually going to switch you to the desktop version so you can see exactly what it is I'm talking about. But there's a software out there that actually allows you to take a webcam picture, rotate an object on the picture, and actually get a fully realized 3D model out of it. So the thing that's currently on the screen is a little building that actually stands in three-dimensional space. It's incredibly simple, but during the course of the video that's at the bottom, the person rotates the building ever so slowly on the camera, and the camera software actually works behind the scenes to build the wire mesh that you see on the screen. Now, for those of you who can't see it, it doesn't look right. It looks like there's weird artifacts that exist throughout the rotational process. But this is, again, just the beta version of the software. And unfortunately, the software hasn't actually been released to the general public yet. So it's not like you can actually, you know, download it or test it out or try it, anything like that yourself. It'd be really nice if you could, but the person's kind of working on his PhD at MIT, so you can kind of understand why he wants to keep certain things under wraps. All right, moving right along to the next little thing that we have for you here is baby food is cleared for landing. Yes, I got to tell you, if I had seen this when my son was born, I would have loved this. Again, we're switching over to the desktop view so you can get a little bit of a better understanding of what I'm talking about. I've seen this actually. I saw this on the Geekazine website. This is actually in the list of things that I was going to talk about, so I have to give credit to Jeffrey for that, for putting it up there before I could. But this is fantastic. This is a pair of runway lights that actually run up the bib, so it looks like a runway going straight up the bib and towards the baby's mouth, and then the spoon itself is an airplane. So yes, you can make the airplane noises, and yes, it is fantastic. And the even the better part about it, the person who did this must have actually been a parent themselves, because not only is the bib easy to clean and everything, but the spoon actually detaches from the front of the airplane so that you can clean it separately. So I love it. It's over at thinkgeek.com. It's only $25. So for the level of technological savvy that actually brings into the baby process, then I kind of think it's awesome. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is over, again, from thinkgeek.com. They're having a Lego contest. I love Legos. But they're actually trying to put a new contest out there that allows you to win a sculpture by Nathan Swaya. Now, this is the gentleman who's been on, I think he was on Rachel Ray. He was on a couple other things. He is famous for actually doing three-dimensional Lego sculptures. So it's really crazy the stuff that the man can actually do out of bricks. His very famous sculpture called Yellow is actually a Lego man pulling his chest apart, and you can see yellow Lego bricks falling out the front of him. The idea of the contest is that you must fit all of your design onto a 14 by 20 stud plate, which also happens to be the same size of the stud plate that ThinkGeek is putting onto a t-shirt. So they're putting out there a Lego t-shirt that you can build off of that I know we talked about before. It says the other thing is your design must be wearable, and your design must use 100% compatible brick systems. So you have to use Lego, Pixel Blocks, Mega Blocks, Kinex bricks, and all compatible are welcome. I was unaware that Kinex bricks were actually compatible, but I guess that, you know, they kind of would be. So you have up until January 15th, 2010, and you can get your very own customizable or customized sculpture by the master himself. So that's a really cool prize. I mean, every once in a while you'll see, oh, you know, it's a gift certificate from this person. It's something else from that one, and it doesn't really engender a lot of interesting talk or conversation. So this is, you know, something that actually brings the whole Lego thing into something else. Moving right along to the next little thing from over at ogizmo.com. It's called Muji and Lego Paper and Block Set. Now, I am a huge fan of Lego, like I said, but I love paper craft. I'm horrible at origami, but I really think it's an art that is lost on a lot of the younger people today. I don't necessarily see a lot of people other than the errant paper airplane or anything. I don't see too many people focusing on origami or papercraft at all. So when I see a new product come out that kind of speaks to that environment, I really wanted to pass it along. And this is a way to actually build a Lego block set that actually has direct a direct influence from papercraft. So you can, you know, have tiny little furry stripes that are on your dragons. You can do all kinds of other crazy things. I can't tell whether or not it's just holes punched within all the paper that allows you to cut out cool and interesting designs, or whether or not there's actually folding involved so that you can see stuff. So if you're looking at it on the live view stream, you can actually get a sense of what this is, but it really does seem cool, and I just haven't been able to figure out exactly what it would be used for yet beyond what they have it there. So I like things that that can be used beyond their initial pieces there. Next little thing that there's up there, again from over at Ogizmo, the Ostendo curved monitor is now available. This thing is massive. It's a 43-inch wide monitor that has a beautiful curved display that goes all the way around. It's 2880 by 900 quad DLP rear projection monitor. So you have to read those kind of things carefully, but it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. However, they said most of the actual purchases for this thing are direct from like the military who want to use it for simulations. So this is the kind of thing that I could definitely see if you're a flight sim guru, that this would definitely build right in, and you'd be able to, you know, to really have kind of an interesting viewport across what you see there. So it's kind of fun. All right, next thing that we have for you here is let me see. All right. Rethinking NIMBY, why wind power could lead to new ways of defining and dealing with public naysaying. This is from over at boingboing.com. Now, if you're unaware of what NIMBY is, NIMBY is not in my backyard. It's kind of the preeminent fallback on whenever somebody says, hey, you know, we're going to put a prison, and it's going to be in this neighborhood. So everybody in that neighborhood, of course, gets up in arms and say, hey, we don't want a prison. Despite the fact that, you know, if you really think about it, if the prisoners break out, you know, stealing a line directly from George Carlin, do you think they're going to be hanging around? No, they're going to probably get as far away from that prison as they can. Yes, there's the one small logical hole in the man's argument where it's, okay, yes, they break out of prison, and they might end up doing enough damage along the way. There really you don't want to be in that path, so you want to be far enough away from that. I understand that. But there's a interesting in the interesting article that we actually have the direct link to. Somebody actually posted a protest to a planned wind farm, and the thing is, he's a pig farmer. So nobody really wanted to live next to either of those two things. And what the study called is basically a rethinking of the NIMBY procedures. That in order to actually work with communities, you should probably offer them something to be there. So they actually picked a couple of different instances from across the Atlantic, and they said that basically in certain areas of the Netherlands or in certain areas of the UK, that when the people were installing wind farms, they had to be owned by 20% of the wind farm was actually owned by the community that they were putting it in. Not directly, so it's not like, yes, that's our windmill, but it was more along the lines of, well, okay, 20% of the power that this thing generates goes direct to the communities who support it. So if you really think about that, then it gives you an incentive. And a lot of things are actually kind of built into an incentive idea. So I really like that. I think if more things went along those aspects, I mean, I don't really think there's an incentive to putting a prison in your area, except for the fact if maybe you built like a police substation into the prison, you could say, hey, you know what, we're going to not only be increasing the police presence in your area, but we're also going to be putting a prison there. So, I mean, there might be some kind of ways to build on the NIMBY procedures where you could say, and you might be able to actually get around it. The article is much better than I am at actually explaining what they're trying to say there, but you can kind of get the gist of it. Next little thing that we have up for you here is a beautiful construct. It's called Xbox Elegant Edition Case Mod. What it does is it's actually a way to take the innards out of an existing Xbox 360 and put it directly into a new case completely. So we're showing it up on the screen right now. The case itself is actually, you know, nice and squared off, has nice clean lines, has the traditional green ring on there that actually shows you all the different controllers that are connected, has the ubiquitous kind of angled and curved off drive slot that's in the middle. This is the kind of thing that you would expect to have within your stereo cabinet. So to see this kind of thing in real life and in practice kind of makes you want to think beyond what it currently exists to, like, okay, we see how game systems are designed right now, and we see, you know, that they go for kind of an orphaned system. So it's like, okay, the Xbox 360 looks a certain way when set off by itself, or the Nintendo Wii looks a certain way when it's set in that tiny little stand, and it's always pictured the same way in every single picture you ever see it. So, hi Chuck, how's it going up? I'm glad it is coming through clear. But the interesting thing about a lot of the console design shots, for instance, PlayStation 3s are always shown horizontal. Xbox 360s are almost always shown vertical, and Wii's are always shown at the exact same angle in the exact same position in that little stand. I only know one person who actually uses their Nintendo Wii in that tiny little plastic stand. So if you take it out of that, it's a very tiny little nondescript white box, and it really kind of blends into the rest of the surroundings. So if it had a little bit more of an elegant design to it, it might end up changing up some what some people think of as a console. It might allow it to be a little bit more accepted. All right, next thing that we have for you here is Atari throws down some nostalgia in their web presence. Now, I'm pretty sure there's a couple of people listening out there who are kind of working out, and they've seen older Atari games, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, you know the games that used to exist. You've seen them. You've played them probably in the arcades themselves. Unfortunately, the Atari website's really, really heavy into Flash, so I can't actually show you. But things like Asteroids, the Battle Tanks, and stuff like that. So what they're trying to do now is they're trying to take those old games, and rather than recharging you, so rather than saying, okay, yes, you know what, you can come online, you can go to the Atari website, and you remember back when we had a console, now you can buy those games again. No, what they're doing is they're adding a social element into it to where you can play them online. There's an online leaderboard for Asteroids, so you can actually go onto Atari.com and play Asteroids and get your score ranked against everybody else. It really kind of harkens back to the older arcades, where, you know, you would always want to make sure that nobody ever unplugged your machine. And we have a couple comments there in the chat box, and Chuck says he's old enough to remember them all. every single one, Chuck. But yeah, it's by the way, Chuck is from the Eagles Fancast over at EaglesFancast.net. Fantastic show about the local football team here. I unfortunately only got to catch a little bit of his recording here this evening because I kind of was trying to get the stuff up and ready for this and was dawdling more than I should have. But thanks for joining us, Chuck. It's really interesting to see a lot of the companies that had a presence in those arcades really kind of craft their things into newer instances. Like if you look at a company that kind of built right after the arcade collapse, Nintendo has basically lived their entire life cycle off of reselling the same content. So everybody's bought Mario Brothers at least once or twice. I know that on my one of the selling points for the newer games is that you see that, okay, yes, there's a playable version of the original Super Mario Brothers on it or something similar like that. And it to a certain point, it's like, okay, wow, that's really great. That's kind of a fan service. But at the same point, you're looking at it going, that's kind of ridiculous because you haven't done anything new in quite a while. So that's six of one, half a dozen of another there. All right, now the last little real story that we have for you here in the GeekCraft section at the Caffeination Podcast is unbelievable. We're going to be switching over to on the stream so you can actually see exactly what I'm talking about, but it's really crazy to actually think of these things. But there's a site called the-blueprints.com that allows you to look at blueprints for any number of things that are out there. So you can see blueprints for World War II fighter jets or airplanes. You can see blueprints for anything you can possibly imagine. Well, they also have a section that is directly responsible for science fiction things. So for instance, right now I'm looking at the, which we're actually going to switch the Ustream thing over to so you can see it yourself, but right now we're actually looking at the blueprints of the USS the NCC Indestructible. So I think if you actually join up to their sites, you can see like the full rendition of what they actually have here. But you can see the all of the different Star Trek, UFP, they have Star Wars, they have the Klingon Empire. The AT-AT is the one that I had linked up to originally, and I'm trying to find a good version of that, so we might end up trying to see if I can show that one. But the AT-AT from Star Wars itself, it's not going directly there. But you can see all kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, yeah, the Star Wars Rebel, Imperial. I can actually show you the Millennium Falcon, which is always a good one. They have people that update these things. They have all kinds of crazy stuff up there. So you can actually, on some of them, on the real models that they have up there, for instance, if you go onto Chevrolet under the system that they have there, you can actually see the 2007 Equinox, or you can see like the 2010 Silverado or something like that. So you can see things that haven't even been built yet, but they have like a full set of of blueprints for. Now, it's not like down to the technical specifications, but one of the cool things that they do have is that you can actually see they have the elevation, they have the plan, and they have the sliced view, so that if you really wanted to, you could put all of these three into a 3D program and kind of build your own model of them directly out of that. So that alone's awesome. And somebody who works a lot with 3D modeling programs, and just in trying to support students who are trying to do crazy things, I think it's really cool that I'm going to be able to point them to this new site now. So hopefully you enjoy that, and you can kind of surf around through some of the really cool ones that they have up in there. All right, now the next little thing that I have for you here, the last thing that I have for you in the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast is a musical styling. Now, I'm not going to be playing it on the show because I didn't have a chance to figure out if I could actually do it, but I just wanted to kind of point it in your general direction. It's called Gangster Grass. It's the fusion between hip-hop and country. Now, when I first heard about it, I heard about it on Twitter today, and when I first heard about it, I thought it was ridiculous. There's no way that those two things could actually exist together. But actually works. It's really kind of sad. It's kind of like a bluegrass version of what Kid Rock could have been at one point in time. So if you're enough into music and you have an open enough mind that you might be able to check out two of those things and see if they jive in your ear, then you can head on over to gangstagrass.com or gangstagrass.com. So you have to kind of pronounce it correctly in order to get the correct spelling there, but or you could just head on over to the Caffeination website after I'm done with the show, and you can just click on a link and go directly over there. All of the Johnny says West Side. We're more of an East Side place, but the stuff that they have up there, their entire album is actually free for download, so it doesn't even hurt you to give it a shot. So it's kind of a fun little way to get more traction for their particular brand of music. So it's really kind of cool. All right, now that ends the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have a couple tiny things in the food and caffeinated bits, and then we're going to head you out on your way. The first one is, do you have company coming over anytime soon? I'm pretty sure you might. So I have a link back to one of our original posts. This is from back in between Caffeination 191 and 192. The only thing about this post particularly that irritates me is that somebody along the way has stolen this post and posted it up somewhere else. I actually contacted the person, and they put my name under the article as the person who wrote it, but if you actually look at the HTML associated with the link, they put a nofollow back to my site, so they don't even get credit for me in the search engine style for actually having done the article. But it's called 5 Quick Tips, Coffee for Company. It's things to make creating coffee dishes for your company that much simpler. And the first one, the one that I will stand by until the cows come home, literally, is buy a glass-lined carafe. These things are incredibly inexpensive. You can go to Bed Bath & Beyond. You can get them for like $25. The one that I have that I should have probably brought down to actually show you is about 20 inches high. It's black plastic. My sister bought it for me when I started college. The glass carafe on the inside is actually capable of holding coffee at hot temperature for about 2 days. It's insane to actually say that, but there's a couple little provisos in there. So first of all, you have to fill it all the way up to the top, then you screw the cap down so that there's no air in it, and you can't open it. But this was accidental. I filled it up one night for studying and came back, and like a little while later, it's like, oh, you know, I think I have to remember to drink that. And then the next morning, I completely forgot about it until, like, the next night, I opened it up again, and it was steaming hot. So I tried one more time. I was like, okay, well, next time we're going to try 2 days. I'm going to see how long it can take that for 2 days. It still tasted fresh, which is unbelievable, but when you really think about it, coffee loses its flavor profile when it's exposed to air, especially after the brewing process. So if you can put it in an airtight container, it really, really makes a lot of difference. Number two, buy whole beans. This one should be number one, but this is coffee for company. But so buy whole beans. Do not buy the pre-ground stuff. And please, 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 if you're going to buy whole beans from a supermarket, do not ever use that grinder that they have in the supermarket. That grinder will destroy any kind of quality that you've bought. So no matter whether or not it's fantastic, whether or not it's horrible beans, they will all go into one giant stale pile coming out the bottom end, because who knows the last time they actually cleaned that grinder. The other thing is, not very many of them, at the time of the writing of this article, no supermarket that I saw actually had separate grinders for flavored coffee or versus regular coffee, or even for decaffeinated coffee. They all went into the same hopper. So you might not like French vanilla coffee, you might not like hazelnut supreme or whatever it is, and I can't stand it myself, but it's like you pour your regular coffee through there, and that's the kind of flavors that you get just kind of like inching in on the edge of your cup, and it always tastes stale. So next thing is pull the pot. After you brew a pot of coffee on a regular drip system, pull it off the warmer directly, immediately, as soon as you can. In fact, some people actually have a warmer on the bottom end of their coffee pot that's so hot. What I suggest you do is actually, you know, you have to kind of be there to do this, but you take a napkin or a wash rag, you put it over there, a dry one, and then you put the coffee pot on top of that. That actually kind of diffuses the heat so that when the coffee starts to brew into the drip maker itself, it's not scalding as it sits on the bottom. It depends how fast fast your coffee maker is, but you can kind of understand. Number four is I actually have a sugar and spice article that I wrote. So it lists all the different kinds of sugars, sweeteners, and spices that you can actually put into your coffee. Please don't buy flavored coffee. I can't say it more enough. If you like cinnamon coffee, here's a hint. Put cinnamon into your coffee. It's not that hard to do. If you like hazelnut, you know, it's time for a little liqueur in there. You know, a little bit of amaretto or something like that. Or I think the hazelnut's actually for Angelica, but still. And number five is avoid flavored coffee, because I like to kind of repeat the same thing going down there. So that's my little offering. The next little thing that we have up for you here is a really, really awesome story. It's actually a 100-year-old frozen whiskey. You heard me here correctly. There's two casks of whiskey were actually found from the Shackleton Expedition in Antarctic ice. So there was an expedition down trying to get to the South Pole. They apparently let the whiskey go, which is probably their first mistake, and it was frozen in the ice, as things are wont to do in the Antarctic. It was found 100 years later, so you have it. I don't know if they're going to be selling it. I don't know if it's just going to be to exist as a as kind of a testament to the expedition that went. I don't even know enough about the Shackleton expedition to tell you whether or not it was successful, whether or not everybody died on it. So, for instance, if everybody died on the expedition, then what you should probably do is probably auction off the stuff that was from the expedition to kind of give money back to either preserving their memory or even the families if they're still around. I think that would be kind of cool. But the idea that there's actually whiskey that was brewed 100 years ago or distilled 100 years ago that's was found and it's, you know, been literally on ice for all this time is kind of funny. All right, next little thing we have up here for you. There's only two little stories, and then we're going to head out on your way. Is a self-heating bottle. Why does this sound like it could go horribly wrong? The idea behind this thing, which we're actually going to showcase, is that you can see a baby bottle. So there's the standard compartment for where a baby bottle would go, and then there's an extended nipple on the end of it that actually has a heating element in it. Now, anytime that I think of anything that has a heating element and directly relating to serving it to a baby, I get a little worried, because you kind of want to be able to give a kid a bottle and walk away just for a half second. The idea of giving a kid a bottle that has a heating element in it just really doesn't jive with me in any kind of way. They're saying that it's actually able to heat up the milk within 30 seconds, and that the it actually turns itself off after 30 seconds being tilted. So you can get a couple of these for $36. So I just keep looking at this, and there's no way I can actually justify it. We've used bottle warmers here in the house, but I can't justify anybody who would try and put a heating element into my kid's mouth. It just never really seems right. All right, and the last little thing that I have for you here is USB travel mug keeps your beverage warm and agitated. Now, I think this is a pretty cool idea, but I don't know about the actual implementation of it. First of all, I have a USB beverage warmer that my very good friend Jimmy gave me, and it does not work at all. Unfortunately, it just makes the hot plate itself hot enough to burn your fingers, but never actually warm a mug. So if you're on the Ustream thing, you can see it here. It's actually a 4-port USB hub, and it has a nice little metal shield right there. The problem with these things is that this thing heats up. It doesn't transfer enough of the warmth into the actual mug, and you can see this is a standard version mug, or for those of you who can't see, I have a standard version mug here. It doesn't actually fit into the warming pad at all. So it's not really the most useful thing in the world, except for a USB hub. I mean, I thanked him for it at the time, and Jimmy's a great guy, but I can't really see any USB accoutrements for coffee really going over well. All right, so that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast and the live taping. So, of course, we went over time because there's a bunch of fun extras that are going to be doing in this. I don't think I have to do too much editing on tonight's show, but I would like to just give you a little bit of a hint. We are going to be sticking around after I stop the recording, so if anybody has any comments, feedback, suggestion, etc. So thank you ever so much to the people who stuck around and the people who are currently listening to this, and will listen to it forever in perpetuity. This has been Caffeination number 3 1986, the Woo Edition, because this is, after all, the biggest party night of the year. At least that's what everybody keeps telling me. Thank you ever so much. This has been a rather cool episode, rather fun, and I think we're going to be trying to redo this every once in a while. Maybe every Wednesday or every Sunday. Wednesdays probably work out a little bit better. So this has been the Caffeination Podcast. We are hosted lovingly nestled along with all of our other little episodic content over at www.caffination.com. That is caffeination.com for those of you who couldn't figure that out. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can head on over to techpodcast.com to check that out. And we're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's BLUBRRY. Thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.